Velger and Mass.
Little sport dork orgy. So sporty.
Oh, yeah.
So sporty.
Oh, yeah.
Sports and sports and sports.
Oh, yeah.
Sports in your face.
Oh, yeah.
Sports.
Velger and Mass.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, hour two, Felger and Naz. Want to clean up these Celtics calls, your Red Sox thoughts, and we'll get to some Patriots and Steelers coming up as well. But we'll just clean up the board here this segment. If you want to join, it's 617-779-0985. Bob and Marlboro on the Celts. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, William, the last night's game, Williams was guarding Wall. What happened there? Why was the rookie guarding Wall? Wall ran with the basket and owned him for about 20 minutes.
He owned the whole team. I mean, got to the basket at will, it felt like.
I don't remember the specific case. That had to be a switch.
Well, is it possible that they start with Williams out there anticipating the switch, and so it's, you know, once you switch it, but it's true. He was out there. He was up top, and Wall was blown by everybody.
He went to the hoop for layup after layup after layup in that fourth quarter. I would have liked to have seen Marcus Smart on him, but, I mean, look, Smart had a good night, but that one just, that was a curious decision.
So my guess, and I don't, they'd rather I give up two to Wall than three to Beal or Oubre.
Well, so this is another thing that just sort of drives home to me. And not the Celts have ramped back the three-point shooting a little bit. It's not like they were all threes last night, but, I mean, the Kyrie stuff, I mean, it's like Wall goes a million miles an hour, blows by three guys, spectacular layup too. You come down, dribble, 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 three-pointer, and the Wizards, you know, Bullets lose that sequence. You see it over and over again. I'm sort of, like, I see the Celtics and the NBA now shooting so many threes. I feel like whenever a team goes for two, I'm like, well, that's kind of waste. It's like running the ball.
Oh, I find it refreshing.
No, I mean, no. Stylistically, yeah. It's refreshing, but on the scoreboard, I'm like, oh, you just lost the sequence with that layup. You got to kick it out.
I mean, there's so little defense in that league this year, especially. The numbers are going through the roof. But my guess is that they deemed Wall to be the less hurtful of the scorers.
Oh, yeah, he crushed you. Mike and Southie on the Celts. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, guys. I was wondering if you were watching the game last night. Somewhere in the second half, they flashed up a stat on the board. And since Thanksgiving, they have been passing the ball a lot more. I think from the start of the season to Thanksgiving Day, they averaged about 280 passes per game, where now is on their seven-game win streak. They are in the mid-300s. And since the seven-game win streak, I think Kyrie's been averaging seven assists a game, which I think it could be more. But you're seeing a lot less isolation with guys like that. And I think it all starts with Kyrie.
Okay, well, let me stop you. Do you agree with that, Mass?
I do. Yeah, I think they're playing less isolation ball now than they were early in the year. And the stat he just rattled off, I heard Grandy talking about it on our broadcast on the ride home a couple of games ago. Look, as a fan, you're going to sit there and count the number of passes during a game. The easy way to do it is always look at their assist-to-hoop ratio. Right, if they're making 40 baskets and they get 30 assists, you know they're moving the ball.
So what happened? Can I give you a theory? Guys got hurt. You got less guys out there, you know, more role players. And then when Brown comes back, he realizes he has to play a different way, and the ball, you know, he doesn't swallow up the ball like he was before. So that's, I think it started with some guys going out.
I think that's definitely part of it. And the other part of it was putting Smart in the starting lineup, because Smart doesn't shoot.
No question.
He moves the ball. And so, you know, again, with Smart, sometimes it looks deliberate because he's not the quickest and most fluid guy in the world, but he moves the ball.
And he brings the ball up. So there's automatically going to be, if Kyrie, and, you know, you saw it in the last, wasn't that interesting? The last possession of regulation last night after Beal ties it with that putback, the Celtics don't take it in the front court. They took it underneath the basket. They called timeout after the make, and they could have had it in the front court, but instead they got it, they went, how long is the basketball floor? 120 feet?
It's 92, I think, isn't it?
Whatever it is. They took it up. They go underneath their basket. Just so Kyrie could get ahead of steam and just go the whole way, which is what he did.
Exactly.
And then he missed sort of a little bunny. But there's a lot of possessions where Smart's bringing the ball up. So there's automatically going to be, you know.
A pass.
Yeah.
And it's a good way to start. It's like you immediately get in the mindset of, we're going to begin the whole thing with a pass. So, to me, there's no question that that part has gotten better. Again, the one I always look at is, how many assists to buckets are they getting? And last night, it was low. Last night, it was like they only had 20 assists. But more often than not, if they're getting, you know, over half their, more than 60% or something. That's a, it's a good indication to move in the ball.
Nate and Rozzy, go ahead, Nate.
Hi, guys. Listen, you guys are touching on my my guy, Marcus Smart, the Swiss Army knife. He does everything for him, makes him a better team, and they're moving the ball, and he's like the vocal leader also. And one more thing. I think we're going to run 10 in a row and end up one of the top two teams, and Philly's going to fall off because they're arguing already. Thanks for taking my call.
Okay, babe, I'm not worried about Philly. I'm not even worried about Milwaukee. Toronto, without Kawhi Leonard, went into Golden State last night and beat the Warriors.
Smacked them, too.
They have a lot of depth there.
Without Kawhi Leonard, Toronto's legit, and you can't win on that floor. So watch the standings. You've done a good job closing. I think you're three out in the loss column. Last night was a real good chance to close. You beat the Bullets, and they're in Golden State. You're like, here we go. Now we're down to two, and Toronto went in without Kawhi Leonard and beat the Warriors.
You're still not taking the Bucks seriously with Giannis playing at MVP level? They have a real coach there?
I'm not. I mean, I think they'll be in it. Hopefully they're more than one and done, but I don't see it. I don't see you competing with those. I don't see us competing with Toronto and you. I don't.
So, like, you know, this again, this is how my brain works. The scary scenario there is, what if Toronto wins the East and then Kawhi decides he wants to stay? Now you've got to deal with that for years forward.
Okay, I mean, if you want to talk about that, what was I talking to the other night? Oh, what if Durant goes to the Knicks and brings Kawhi with him? I mean, that's a whole other thing. You know, the Knicks are still lurking.
Kyrie.
Durant and Kyrie to the Knicks. That's a whole other one. But, no, Kawhi Leonard's legit. And that, I don't know, Toronto's legit in Toronto. You've lost 13 straight there. Andrew in Leominster. Hi, Andrew. Andrew!
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
So here's my point. My point is the Celtics have no chance in the finals. Now, let's say for some miracle of a reason, the Warriors don't go to the finals and the Lakers go to the finals. Do you think your Celtics team right now is better than the Lakers? There's no way. Kyrie is not good enough. I'm going to be honest. Kyrie is not good enough to lead a team to a championship. If you were smart, you would move him for Anthony Davis. That guy had 42 points yesterday and like 18 rebounds.
Is Kawhi Leonard good enough to lead you to a championship, Mass?
Kawhi?
No, he said Kyrie Irving.
Oh, I thought you said Kawhi Leonard.
Kyrie Irving, I meant to say.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Been there, done that.
Yes.
I mean, granted, it was with LeBron, but still, he knows how to do it.
He's not as good as LeBron, but LeBron's not the only one who can lead a team to a championship.
No. He can do it. If you give him a cast like this and you need shots at the end of the game like the one, he can do it.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, he can do it. I mean, he is filthy good offensively. He is so damn good.
Are the Warriors legitimately vulnerable, or are they just taking their time? Why, Murray? Why are they legitimately vulnerable?
Oh, I think you've seen this since the beginning of the year. Like, there's not a lot of cohesive basketball going on with that team. I think there's been behind-the-scenes stuff going on with them since last year that's left over. You have the whole the Kevin Durant and Draymond Green thing going on, and it feels like Durant wants to get the hell out of there. And Steph Curry is continuing to, you know, deal with that ankle thing that he's had off and on for the last few years. Like, yes, it feels like the Warriors can be had this year. This is what made that first month and a half of the Celtics season so frustrating.
I'm not there. I'm not. I need to see it in the spring before I believe it.
See, I think they are a team that can totally take their time and do what they want.
Look, so how many years did we say this about Cleveland? How many years?
Right. Every year.
And then they get in the spring and they play better.
Or Miami.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Every year.
Yes, but this is an extremely bitchy team internally, and they're going to add Boogie Cousins to the mix, and now he's starting to get going because I just saw the other day they put him in the G League, so he might be ahead of schedule. They're going to add that guy, and I like Boogie Cousins, but for what's been a combustible locker room already, I don't know. I feel like that team's their time's going to come this year.
They're bored. They're bored. The regular season bores them.
No question. That's why Steph Curry has to talk about moon landings and all this stuff. And they could, you know, little Real Housewives of the NBA. Exactly.
And they've reached the point where they're
just so filling time.
Yeah, and they're so confident or cocky or arrogant or call it whatever you want that they don't think they need home court. It doesn't matter. So they're bored.
Yeah, because of an injury was the only reason that they got to the finals last year. They should have lost to Houston. And if Chris Paul didn't go down, and now they're going to, this year, they're lacking focus. And again, there's this whole internal thing that I don't think has really been squashed between Durant and Draymond, and they're adding Boogie Cousins. They're going to be had by someone this year, either out of the West or maybe in the finals.
So look, you might be right, Murray. Do you think they look at it as we should have lost to Houston last year?
No.
Yes.
See, I don't. I mean, I'm with Murray. I think that they look at it and say, we're going to beat them anyway. Like, I think that that's who they think they are. And that's why I'm not worried. I can't judge them until the spring.
Real quick, Jeff in Connecticut with the Red Sox thought. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, did Dombrowski miss a chance at the winter meetings to make a deal with a team or pick someone up and sign someone in the bullpen?
I don't think he missed anything because nothing's really happened. Guys have just starting last night to come off the board. So I don't think, no. Miller's still out there. Britton's still out there. Femia's still out there. Cody Allen's still out there. All those guys are still out there, right?
Yes. As far as I know. Yeah, I mean, unless there were deals that wrapped up here in the last couple hours, I don't know. But I think everyone bailed out of there this morning.
Baseball market moves at a glacial pace. Plenty of time. Plenty of time.
So that's another way. Like, I don't know. Maybe you make an incentive during the winter meetings or something.
Yeah,
you know?
At the end of the winter meeting. I mean, so that would make the winter meeting sexy again. You know, whatever today is, December 13th, last day of the winter meetings, that's the deadline. If you don't sign by December 13th, you can't sign until
April 1st.
April 15th, whatever, something like that.
Oh, I like that idea.
You know what I mean? If you don't sign by the end of the winter meetings, you cannot sign until April 15th and put a deadline on the signing period and get these guys to move. The whole sport needs a giant prod in the ass, needs a cattle prod in the tuchus, the whole thing. Not just the games, but the offseason, too. It's unbelievable.
It does. It moves way too slow.
God!
Way too slow.
Okay.
Did you know that Manny Machado was a free agent? Did you know that?
If that were basketball, hockey, or football, he's on a plane at 12:01 the first day of free agents, and he's signing the first 12 hours of free agency.
From the day they showed up at spring training, Machado and Harper, all the talk was that they were going to hit the market in November. It's now Christmas, and they still haven't signed.
That's not even close to anyone. You haven't even heard real teams. Like, have they taken a visit?
It is. It's ridiculous.
We continue with your thoughts on these things, and we get to Steelers, Patriots right after this.
You're listening to Felger and Bass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
There were several conversations throughout the course of the third quarter or whatever when he came back to the sideline after getting done what he needed to get done. And communication was a part of the ultimate decision to put him back into the game or whether or not we were even going to consider putting him back into the game. And really, guys, I've tried to be as transparent as I can be. I'm not going to get into any more of the minutiae. I know you guys got a job to do. I wanted to be as completely transparent as I could. I was not interested in discussing it after the game because I'm not a comfort seeker. I don't want to blame others. I don't care about the equipment, the speed in which the thing transpired, whether or not we were able to read it. You know, that was the same equipment for both teams, et cetera, et cetera. So I said very little after the game.
Meanwhile, Mike Tomlin's still prattling on about Ben Roethlisberger and his ribs. Let me get to the Steelers. This group. I'm sorry. Ben Roethlisberger. Who I've always, for all the bad things I can say about the guy, I've always considered a tough guy. You know, I always think he's a tough player, takes a lot of hits, stands in there, etc., etc. What he did in Oakland over the weekend, I'm sorry, that is weak. Weak. Whether you're waiting for the pain meds or not to kick in or the x-ray to come back or not, you're clearly okay to play. And you stand there on the field while your team's going circling the drain against the Oakland Raiders? Would Tom Brady ever stand there on the sidelines with an injury that he had a chance to play through?
Can't imagine that he would.
The guy's come off the field once, and he ripped his ACL. That's it. And he's had all sorts of other things. You name it, he's had it. He does not come off the field. I could not believe Roethlisberger did that. And then, you know, afterward, they're waiting for the pain medication, they're waiting for the x-ray, all this nonsense, on and on. Good God, Tomlin. Give me number four, Jimmy.
Ben said on his show that the plan was to put him in regardless of whether or not Oakland had scored on their second to last drive that was the case?
He and I had a conversation. It got to the point where we said regardless of what transpired, he was going in on the next series, and he did.
Mike, is there any sort of league standard for the quality of the x-ray equipment that you're aware of?
I'm not getting into that. That's why I didn't get into it after the game.
Formal complaint filed on behalf of this team?
There will be none.
That was the same x-ray machine that the Raiders would have used if somebody was hurt?
And again, I'm not getting into that.
I love Tomlin.
He's great, isn't it? It's like, I cannot speak to the quality of the x-ray machine in Oakland.
But it's the fact that Roethlisberger took himself out of the game or sat there, watching. I felt the same way about, Tannehill, when he came out in the second quarter. When he was okay to walk across the field and into the tunnel to get an extra, your team's still out there. Get it at halftime. Get the pitcher at halftime. It turns out you're okay. You probably knew you were generally okay, or okay enough to stand there for another series. See, these quarterbacks, I'm sorry, that comes with the job.
He's become like a total drama queen. Roethlisberger has.
If you can play, you have to play. That's it. You play. You don't come off the field. If you want to be considered one of the elite guys, you do not come off the field. And whenever I see quarterbacks come off the field, willfully come off the field, I'm like, you, Sally. Like, every time I see that. So, Roethlisberger, I know he's a hateable character to begin with, but just in terms of the toughness quotient, which I always thought that he had above anything else, I looked at that and said, oh, man, maybe the real issues there. Now the quarterback's sort of bailing. You got to play through that, man. I'm sorry. You got to play through that.
He's a total drama queen now. What was it he did at a press conference a couple of years ago? Remember? Didn't he come out with like his whole body, his whole body wrapped, but his knee was wrapped and his arm was wrapped. And it was like, look at me. I'm hurt and I'm banged up.
And he's been alluding to retirement off and on for the last couple of seasons.
Oh, he's half checked out as it is. He's a total drama queen now. And to me, the organization.
I was going
to
say, Maz, how do you feel about the Steelers in general?
So like, Ben Volen had a column on it today that, for example, Rocky Blyer has gone on to Facebook and expressed a displeasure with it. And there's all this internal stuff now swirling around the Steelers because, honestly, has there been a more disappointing team in the league in the last 3 or 4 years than the Pittsburgh Steelers? When you really look at it, remember, they went through that little phase where their defense deteriorated, and then they rebuilt it, and they overall did a half-decent job. Okay? So they've had some good years here in the past couple of years. Since the start of the 2015 season, the only teams in the league that have won more games than Pittsburgh are the Patriots and Kansas City. And you could say Kansas City's one of the great choke teams of the league, too. But at least with the Chiefs, you look at them now and you say, well, they've got like the next great young quarterback in the league, maybe. The Chiefs are getting better.
Well, but Casey never had the quarterback. So they won a lot of regular season games on their coaching and sort of other stuff. But
so even better point.
Like, I don't consider the Kansas City Chiefs a playoff choker. They're not like the Peyton Manning Colts or the Steelers team or maybe the Packers. I don't consider them. I think Kansas City has been what they've been. If they don't go there this year, then you say, okay, what's going on? They'll have home field. They'll have the bye. They'll have the best young quarterback in the league. Like, now you got to win. Previous to this, I think they did well just to win those regular season games. I don't treat them the same as Pittsburgh.
Okay, so Pittsburgh, to me, when you really look back on it and you say, how has this ended for them in recent years? Okay, 2015... You remember they went into Cincinnati, was the A.J. McCarron game?
Of course.
And there was all kinds of chaos and Vontaze Burfict.
No, they had that game lost. And
they should have lost the game.
If Burfict didn't light up Brown coming across the middle, Cincinnati wins that ball game.
Okay, so they should have been bounced then and there. They got lucky. The next year, they got to the AFC Championship here against the Patriots. And you know what happened?
Complete no-show.
They got destroyed. Brady went 32 of 42, 3 touchdowns, had a rating of 130. It was 36-9 halfway through the fourth quarter. I think the final was 36-17. It was never that close. They never held the lead. They were down 10-0 early. That's it. It was done. They got destroyed. In 2017, last year, they lost at home to Jacksonville and gave up 45 points.
To Blake Bortles.
45 points. And other than that, up until that point, I think they had won like 10 of their final 11, and their only loss was to the Patriots in the Jesse James game. So you could look at it and say they were playing better than anybody. 45 points at home to the Jags. That's what they did. And now this year, they're 7-5-1, and they've lost the last three games all late to Denver, the Chargers, and Oakland. Two of those teams are going to miss the playoffs.
And they've played like garbage for 4 weeks. Really, it should have almost been four losses in a row because they scummed their way to that Jaguars win where they were down 16-0 with three and change left in the third quarter or whatever it was. But they're maddeningly inconsistent. They're up and down. That's the way it's always been since Mike Tomlin's been the head coach. But they still control their own path. And this game, I think, means...
Well, hold on, Murray. I'm going to ask you a question in a second. Let me just finish up on Master, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Okay?
To me, if they don't make some sort of run now, you got to blow that sucker up.
So Pittsburgh, to me, has always been big talking. You know, they always get ahead of themselves, and they usually lose. But there was a time when every once in a while they broke through. Yeah, breakthrough with Roethlisberger, win a championship. Breakthrough with Tomlin, win a championship. Breakthrough again. They lost to the Packers in the Super Bowl. But every, like, third or fourth year, they had their time.
Absolutely.
When's the last time that happened now? That was 2011 against Green Bay, or 2010 against Green Bay.
Yeah, and it should have happened in this window because they've been building towards this.
No question. So they have turned into the biggest chokers in the National Football
League. Look at the talent on that team. And do you know them? And I didn't know this until I read Volan today. It was probably out there and I probably missed it. But that when they lost to Oakland, Le'Veon Bell saw it on Instagram that they lost and liked it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, talk about internal dysfunction. You dirtbag. Like, so now you're rooting against him?
The most dysfunctional, choking team in the National Football League has become the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Wow, are they a mess?
Biggest underachievers. Murray, who do you like this week?
I like the Steelers.
Okay, let's discuss. Murray's got the Steelers this week. Here's his update. We come back and we continue this.
Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Phil, is there, maybe not, but is there anything you tell your team when you're facing the Steelers that lost three straight games in heartbreaking fashion? Is there anything you tell your team, especially when you're facing like that? Because confidence might feel down.
Whose confidence?
What?
Who's confident?
Steelers. Yeah.
So, I'm counting on that. You know, I think if you guys are around competitive guys, you wouldn't see that. So, I don't really see that. I don't have to give that any credibility at all. You know, competitive people compete. That's what they do. And certainly, that's what the Steelers are. I'm sure we'll get their best. I think they'll get our best. We'll see what happens.
So that's Bill being asked about the Steelers' three-game losing streak and do they lack confidence and whatnot. And, you know, he scoffs at that, which is right, because if ever there is a overconfident, big-mouth bunch, it's the Steelers. And they were that even when they were going to Super Bowls. I mean, I'll never forget 2001. You know, their bags were packed. And I know sometimes we tend to overplay that because you have to prepare. Like, an organization has to prepare to go to a Super Bowl. And you have to prepare to have a parade whether you're going to win or not. Like, you just can't show up on Monday and say, all right, let's plan the parade. You have to do it before the game. So that's a long way of saying I think the Pats have overplayed some of the opponents getting ahead of themselves. Like, remember when Bill showed the guys the Philadelphia Eagles parade route?
Absolutely.
2004? Well, like, what do you expect them to do? They can't just show up on Monday night and say, we're going to have a parade tomorrow. You got to plan the thing.
Oh, no. They had done the exact same thing here.
Yeah, exactly.
They just hadn't publicized it.
Okay, so that's a big digression to say that when I went there in 2001 with the Steelers, their bags were packed. That was not just, we need to take care of this. It was no. They were there. When I say they, the team, their media, the fans, oh, they were gone. They were in New Orleans. They were, you know, was it Cordell Stewart? Who was from New Orleans? There was someone who was openly talking about going back home. And
I remember him saying after the game, the better team didn't win.
Oh, they still didn't get it.
Oh, I loathed him.
But so the Steelers have always had that. Now they're still doing it, and so when Bill's asked about the Steelers' confidence, he's like, you don't got to worry about that, right? They're overconfident. And they're also winning on Sunday, Murray?
Yes, I think so. But this has more to do with my lack of confidence in the Patriots on the road than anything else.
Why do I sense hemming and hawing like right out of the show?
No, there's no hemming and hawing.
Do you want me to read your email from yesterday?
If you want, or I can just talk. Either way, there's no hemming and hawing. I'm taking the Steelers. It has to do with my lack in the Patriots on the road. The implosion at the end of both halves in that game in Miami last week has left too deep a scar. So that's why. The defense stinks on the road. The Steelers have way more dangerous weapons than the Dolphins do, obviously at wide receiver. The Pats only put up 6 points on offense in the second half of that game. Brady looked hurt. You can't convince me otherwise that he's not. And this game means more for the Steelers. With a game in New Orleans that they have the following week against the Saints, they're fighting for their playoff lives. It's a must-win for the Steelers. They're going to win this game on Sunday.
Don't let them push you around, Murray. Hold your ground.
No. Defend your right to be wishy-washy.
I'm not going to sit here and tell you the Patriots are winning.
Wishy-washy about that at all.
Look, the Steelers, I said this the second.
It's like your giant Nana glasses have given you more a-hole power somehow.
I'm sorry, Murray. Go.
Murray, you should ask Felger who he's picking and you go, oh, you can't pick it. Nobody can predict these things, Murray. If you do, you're stupid. You're already out of your knockout pool, Murray. You know that you are, and so are you, Maz.
I said this Monday, as soon as the Raiders beat the Steelers, when we came in here, I'd have felt better about this game if Pittsburgh had won on Sunday.
Same.
The fact that it's now 3 in a row, they're desperate. You know, their season's really on the line now. It's reached that stage. And so you got all kinds of infighting there. This is the kind of stuff that a team can circle the wagons around. Le'Veon Bell's publicly rooting against him, for crying out loud. Not that he hasn't been all year long, but it's getting worse. It really is. When you look at it over a 3 or 4 year period, this Pittsburgh team should have been in the Super Bowl last year or this year. Maybe even the year before. But let's say the last couple of years, and they've puked on themselves.
Are you... Do you think the Steelers are capable of taking advantage of that? So, I mean,
yes, sure.
Based on what?
Based on the fact that they still have some experienced football players there and they have a lot of talent. And if it starts rolling their way, they could run over you. That's all. There's a lot of ability there. And so, you know, I got to believe some of those guys I find Tomlin likable. I find him likable.
What's likable about him?
As a guy, I think he's pretty straight shooter. He's pretty entertaining.
I think he's fun to play a sound to make fun of him. I think he looks like a badass on the sidelines. That's the only nice thing I'll say about him.
Okay.
He looks cool.
Yeah.
He's got a good look with the sunglasses.
He's a coach out of Central Casting, basically.
And he's a handsome fellow. Like, he looks like a cool dude. Should be in a 70s cop show.
Like a Lawrence Fishburne thing.
Yeah,
going.
Like, I think he's a, you know, like, badass looking dude. I don't think he can coach a lick. I think he sucks as a coach.
Do you think his players have quit on him?
No.
Maybe. Starting to, the Roethlisberger thing.
So Roethlisberger, though, he's a pud. He is. He's a, you know, I just wonder if the other guys have quit on him.
I'm just trying to find your email, Murray. You are so much more demonstrative, but don't listen to me. The Nana glasses have got to me. You're right.
And the other thing is, and that we shouldn't overlook this part of it, and I think this is Murray's point, and I don't mean to steal your point, Murray, but no, it's not like the Patriots are this. Why do we believe the Patriots will go win and play well?
See, I don't believe in the Patriots either. I'm with you.
So I just think this is one of those games where, like, whoever gets out in front early and can get a little momentum, it might be over.
How does Pittsburgh win the game, Murray?
Oh, by throwing all over this terrible secondary. That's exactly how. Juju Smith-Schuster, again, they almost lost the game last year. If it wasn't for the fluky call on the, you know, the Jesse James play, they were going to lose that game. After they had it won, just like it was in Miami this past week, they're going to be able to throw all over that secondary with Schuster and Brown. They're going to go off. And look, I know the track record there and how good Rob Gronkowski's been against this team, especially on the road, but Gronk still looks like a shell of himself. I think a lot of people made way too much of the game that he had in Miami last week. His hands still work, but he doesn't have the power or the ups anymore. And Brady, to me, again, that second half was... like jarring to watch. That offense, it became what it looked like against the Tennessee Titans earlier in November. It was a mess.
Does last week leave a mark on the Patriots?
Yeah, I also believe that. I don't know how that they can't get out of the fog of the way that they lost that game and the way that this whole season has gone as well. And you keep saying, Maz, this is what drives me nuts. You keep saying that it's like someone's going to do something dumb, whoever ends up winning this game. Or
someone's going to blow it.
Someone's going to blow it. You know who I think it's going to be? One of the stupid kickers. Because Gostkowski's obviously a puddle based on his game last week. This idiot that the Steelers have, 10 of 16 on field goal attempts, 39 for 44 an extra point. They're ready to run him out of town. I was just reading. They brought in, remember Scott Sweesham, or whatever the hell? Yeah. Sean Sweesham. They brought him in this week to essentially be a counselor to this idiot. It's going to come down to the stupid kickers.
Murray writes the other day, the worst thing for the Patriots heading into this game is that Pittsburgh has lost three straight, and they need this game more than they do. The Steelers are winning this. Oh, and did you know there's an unlikely but not so impossible scenario where the Pats could actually miss the playoffs?
We did this yesterday.
He says if Miami wins out, the Titans win out, the Chargers go 1-2 or better, and the Pats go 1-2 and worse, you're out, leaving us all holding our
popsicles.
Holding our popsicle sticks in our hands, and the dynasty will be over. Period. Paragraph.
Murray, would you say we read this yesterday?
Yeah, yeah, and we did that scenario.
Audience
changes every 20 minutes. Yeah,
no, but again, in the email, you had them losing Sunday, missing the playoffs in the dynasty.
I said there's a remote scenario. You're leaving out a sentence.
You said...
Bottom line is this.
There's an unlikely but not so impossible.
Yeah. That's exactly what it is. Unlikely, but not so impossible. It could happen.
At the very least, it could mean that the useless Jets game could be a biggie in Week 17.
Thank you, Jimmy.
You realize, by the way, the number one seed's out the window tonight if Kansas City wins?
It is anyway. That anyone even still doing those permutations that the Patriots could get the number one seed, you're a moron.
Fascinating game tonight, isn't it?
Great game.
And I'll tell you, a lot of people debate back and forth. Are the Chargers for real? Tonight you find out.
Yeah, you find... And
because the old San Diego Chargers... Don't even show up for this game. There's no chance. Freezing cold weather on the road Thursday night. The Marty Schottenheimer, San Diego Chargers, forget about it. No sniff. If the Chargers go in and win that game tonight, you've got to take them as seriously as the Chiefs or any other team.
I feel like this is the only thing people were talking about this morning. I mean, as I was clicking around a little bit, and I found out something I did not know. Do you realize Kansas City has beaten San Diego 9 times in a row?
Wow.
9 in a row. 9! They haven't beaten him in 5 years, basically. Now they got to go in there for the biggest game of the year? I mean, it is. This is judgment day for the Chargers. That's what it is.
Okay, Murray's got the Steelers.
Bottom line is this. After that loss on Miami, the way that they lost it and what Brady looked like, I've lost all confidence in this team. I thought 11-5, they'd be maybe knocked out in the divisional round anyway. Now, yeah, no.
You know what, Murray? As I mock you, I agree. If you're going to make me pick, I got the Steelers too. I think last week leaves a mark.
Spread's 3.5, right? Which means Vegas basically thinks these teams are even.
This is so dumb. So the Steelers are giving 3.5?
I think the Steelers are favored by 3.5.
That, like, you said 3.5, and I got to think, was that who's given? So the Steelers are giving 3.5.
But they're home.
That makes me pause a little bit. But I don't know. I mean, what can I tell you? If this is really closer to 0-9 than any other year, then it doesn't get better from a loss like last week. It gets worse.
I mean, I can't speak to the weather. This game's going to be a shootout.
Oh, it's supposed to be a muddy, what you're looking for. Supposed to be a muddy, rainy type of game.
Love it. Okay. Your thoughts, I promise. Write to your phones after this.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sports Hub. The Sports Hub. The Sports Hub.
The health and safety of some of these guys as we push into this week. Ben, obviously we got him evaluated when we got back. He has a rib or several rib contusions. That'll be addressed throughout the week. We anticipate him being available to us. Pain management through the week are probably... be the storyline in terms of what he's able to do from a physical preparation standpoint. But again, Ben has played a lot of football. So we've been in this situation with him a lot. So we'll walk that tightrope and go into the stadium with no excuses there.
And Ben and his ribs and all of this. All right, back to your phones. There's still some leftover Celtics chatter as well that we'll be happy to mix in with everything else. Tom in the car, thoughts on Pat Steelers.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. Hey, Felger, you like to stir up controversy. Half the time, you pull things out of your ass just to create controversy. And you really don't know what you're talking about when you're talking about Roethlisberger's toughness. Ask Ray Lewis and Terrell Suggs what they think of Roethlisberger's toughness.
He was a total Sally coming out of that game last week, Tom. total Sally. He could have played, and he's waiting for the pitchers.
You think reasons why?
Tom,
he certainly didn't stay out of the game because he wanted to.
Hey, Tom.
Okay,
Tom. You think Brady's waiting for the pitchers to come back?
Are you questioning Roethlisberger's toughness over Brady?
Yes, definitely. 100%.
Again, you're pulling things out of your ass.
Yeah, you know what?
The other thing I want to say is
I've seen Roethlisberger come out of the game plenty. Well, let me finish. I've seen Roethlisberger come out of the game plenty. Plenty. I've seen him come out of many games. Many, many games. I've seen Brady do it once. I've never seen Brady leave a game and come back. In other words, the only time he left the field is when he was seriously season-ending hurt. Otherwise, he's never left the field, Tom. That is a fact. Not an opinion. He has never left the field for injury his entire career, except for when he tore an ACL. Okay.
Have you ever met Mike Tomlin?
No, I haven't. And that's that. No, do I have to meet him to tell you what I think of him? Why do I have to meet the guy?
That guy sounded like a complete tool.
No, he sounded like a...
He was a Steelers fan.
Well, of course he was. But just his delivery made him sound like a complete tool.
Roethlisberger is standing there on the sidelines with his helmet in his hand, watching his team lose to the Oakland Raiders again. And this isn't a Patriot-Steeler thing. I said the exact same thing about Garoppolo, by the way, who could have come back a week earlier than he did. And I used the same comp. Does Brady sit out that extra game with that shoulder? Does he? If he's given a 14-week window, a 10 to 14-week window, does he wait till day 14 or does he come back on day 9? You know what the answer is with Tom Brady. And you know he's not. If he's able to play, he's playing. He's out on the field. He's not leaving the field. And Roethlisberger, I don't know. I feel like he leaves the field. That's all.
I think he's become a complete drama queen. That's what I think.
Well, remember when they drafted Mason Rudolph this past year?
Oh, and he complained about it.
Yeah, I'm not going to help the kid along. So I wonder if him not coming immediately back into that game has anything, you know, if there's any residual after effect from that. Like, oh, you think you already have the next guy? And granted, it was Josh Dobbs that was in a quarterback, but I wonder if he's still butthurt over the fact that they drafted a quarterback while he's still playing.
Plus, if this guy's such a Steelers fan, it's Roethlisberger.
What did he say?
Berg. Roethlisberger. I'm telling you, listen to it. I don't think it was me. Listen to it.
Okay, Jim in the car. Go ahead, Jim.
What a dink that guy was. Just typical all Steelers fans. That's that guy in one phone call.
I agree.
I just wanted to expand on Felger's point about the Steelers popping up every 3 or 4 years. When have they ever beaten the Patriots during that success? They won the Super Bowl in 2005, and that was the end of the first Patriots dynasty.
Right.
They won it again in 2008, and we all know why.
Yeah.
Because Brady blew out his knee.
Yeah.
And then they went back in 2010 when the Patriots lost to the Jets. I will never take the Steelers serious until they come through New England, because every time they come up here, the same thing happens.
Good job.
Steelers kicked the hell out of them in 2011, the year the Pats went to the Super Bowl.
Okay, but that's not what the caller said. The caller said, when did the Steelers ever go through the Patriots to get to the Super Bowl?
Oh, I see. Okay, yeah.
They haven't.
No, they haven't.
They haven't. They won a couple games. Fine. 2011.
And the Patriots have gone through the Steelers 3 times, I think.
It feels like just about every time. But... Have the Steelers, when the Steelers went, did they ever go through you? Whether they were home, on the road, any circumstance.
No.
They never did. They never did. Whether it was Cowher or Tomlin or whoever. So, I mean, I'll get into the history of the Steelers all day long.
Yeah, except in the years that the Patriots and Steelers played in the postseason, the Patriots were good. I don't know if they're good anymore.
Ernie in Dorchester has a Celtics thought. Go ahead, Ernie.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Can you hear me? Okay, great. Listen, how about the crowd last night chanting, go Celtics, and MVP in Washington, D.C.? That blew my mind. Number two, I think with the Celtics, less is more. When they got both stars or 3 or more stars on the floor at the same time, they suck. But when you got like 3 bench players and 2 stars, they seem to play incredible. What's your thoughts?
Okay, Ernie, I think that's so true. And I think Brad Stevens has established over the last several years, he's as good at that as anyone. That little engine that could, the scrappy Celtics, the hardworking Celtics, they look a little short on talent, but they win every night because they're more engaged in the opponent. Like, he does that, and you have done that better than any team in the league. And you're doing it again. All these injuries come up, and it's like, that's the old Celtics, right? So I know you can do that. You've done it. And credit to you for doing it. You're better than anyone. So full marks. You can't win a championship doing that. So here's your yeah, but. You can't win a championship doing it. And you still haven't proven that you can be the same kind of team when you're fully loaded with all your hungry superstars. So let's see what it looks like. Let's see if Brad can get the team to look like that with Hayward out there wanting his minutes and Brown out there wanting his shots and Tatum out there wanting his superstar status. That's the challenge. That you still haven't I'm not saying you can't do it. I'm just telling you, to this point, you still haven't accomplished that.
No, I mean, in theory, really, they haven't even come close to their peak yet, because they haven't had their best players on the floor playing together and harmoniously, however you want to call it, at the same time. They're scoring now. There's no two ways about that. Their offense has gotten a lot better. I mean, you know, during this winning streak, what are they averaging? The numbers off the charts. They're in the 130s again last night, for crying out loud.
Okay, so Murray's got the Steelers. So do I. But unlike Murray, where Murray has a scenario where the Patriots miss the playoffs altogether, I have them in the postseason.
You're the worst. I just said it's unlikely.
And then Murray says that would leave us all with our Schmenzer in our hands and the dynasty will be over. I still have the dynasty intact. I still think they might win another one. And it'd be next year. Like, whenever Brady starts showing up again is when I start taking them seriously again. But...
oh, that's not happening.
Yeah. No, there's... they're not winning another Super Bowl with this crew.
You don't think Brady starts showing up again?
Nope.
No.
Oh, I do. I do.
I mean, I
well,
I
then Bill's gone then.
Look,
right?
You haven't heard these reports that there's a thawing between him and Bill and they're getting along good?
Yeah, for now. All I'll tell you is that I haven't changed my mind. Last year, I thought that was probably the last Super Bowl of Brady and Belichick together, and I have seen nothing yet to change my mind.
Okay. If Brady starts showing up again, they'll win another one.
He won't.
With who coaching?
Either Bill or Josh.
Either?
Yes, that's correct.
So they're going to be just as good with Josh coaching as Bill.
Good enough to win if Brady's fully engaged.
Hmm.
Good enough to win if Brady... no, they're not going to be as good, but good enough to win if Brady's fully engaged? Yep.
Lane Kiffin is going to coach Brady in the Super Bowl.
We're getting ahead of ourselves, talking Steelers-Patriots. How's Brady looked recently? Some people think he's hurt. Talk about being hurt, caller. You know, if Roethlisberger had suffered what Brady has suffered this year, whatever it is, would Ben have gone to the sidelines for x-rays? Would he have waited for the pain medication to kick in? Doesn't feel like Brady's waiting for that pain medication to kick in. He's just staying on the field. But what's he staying on the field with? Let's discuss right after Murray's 90-second update, no commercials.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.